But it's always, you know, here is the good thing. It's such a great testimony. Everybody can start in the ministry, but it's those that are continuing faithfully till the end, you know, that's commands attention and honor. Amen. Because I guarantee you, Sister Naomi, she probably saw the good, the bad, the ugly, and the very ugly. But yet she's still there standing and preaching the gospel. So thank you for your service, Sister Naomi. Praise God. So before we start, I'd like to show a testimonial video just to inspire you and to set you up for something. So, Maestro, if you would start it, please.
Well, it says in Psalm 107, verse 20, that God sent his word.
Oh, you might have to start it again, brother.
Jesus is the word.
Thank you.
The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 20, that God sent his word to heal us. And Jesus is the word made flesh. Jesus is the one who came. And you know, it's amazing because when he came, he is the perfect expression, representation, the image of God, of his will, his character, his heart. And the Bible says in Acts 10:38 that Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
To share a healing testimony that happened to Layla with Audrey Mack at the healing conference about 7 weeks ago. Layla had a wandering eye on the left eye since she was about 3. It would wander out, looking to the left, and the other would stay in perfect alignment. And we grew up on the word, we know the word, so we've used our authority and called it into order, but it would come into alignment for a short period and then wander and stay out again. And so at the healing conference, Layla felt prompted to stand up by the Holy Spirit and receive prayer for her eye. And when she did that, she saw Audrey Mack.
She prayed over me, and ever since my we healed and has gone through that once.
So we've been 7 weeks without any wandering, complete alignment. Mm-hmm. She's even a goalie on her soccer team because she could see the ball so well and perfect alignment.
Hello, my name is Christy Sierra, and in 2007, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor on the right side of my brain. I underwent 2 brain surgeries, and it was determined to be cancer. I underwent 6 weeks of radiation, and I took chemotherapy for a little over a year. The radiation affected the hearing in my right ear to the point I needed hearing aids in both ears. And on a Wednesday evening, Audrey Mack was here at New Life Christian Fellowship and called for members of the congregation to come forward who wanted healing. And she prayed for me and laid hands on me. My ear got very warm. And since that Wednesday evening, I haven't needed my hearing aids. My hearing is coming back stronger and stronger, and I'm now able to hear people from across the room, conversations, and the praise and worship music actually sounds loud.
My name's Elwin Calvert. I have had COPD. It's gone. No more pain. The pain in the side's gone. The pain in the back is gone. Been there for years.
Praise God.
I can touch my toes. I couldn't touch my toes before.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I can jump around. I couldn't do that before without hurting.
That's it, brother.
I don't feel no pain whatsoever.
You and I have to speak to the sickness. We have to commit sickness to loose our body. We've got to have that anger on the inside that refuse to accept that sickness. Mm. That, and we've got to expect that healing because God is good. Mm.
I'm April Trubiano, and I listened to Audrey Mack last year at Healing Is Here. And I gotta tell you, it absolutely changed my life. I sat in the audience, and I had been to 54 doctors. I had been looking for medicine in 12 different countries. I finally flew to Vietnam. I got the medicine. It did not help. And actually, the doctors thought that with the medicine that I was probably going to die. And I sat and listened to Audrey, and she was talking about the violent take it by force, and you have to get angry. And I was sitting in my chair thinking, you have no idea how angry I am. And I got a little frustrated. But then she kept talking, and I kept listening, and she was talking about how you have to have the authority, and you have to take the authority that God has given you, that God had given me. And I will just tell you that once that really sank in, and as she just kept talking, and I kept listening and understanding the authority the way she teaches it, I will tell you that I went home from Healing This Year after hearing Audrey Mack, and I was completely healed after 9.5 years of being healed.
Senior in high school, I got really sick with mono, and that turned into chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. I also had food and environmental allergies, and unfortunately, that lasted for 10 years. I was almost totally bedridden. Well, one night, a friend asked me to go to my church because we had a guest speaker, and it was Audrey Mack. I was really just too sick to go. I could barely get out of bed, but I decided to go, and as I was getting dressed, I heard in the back of my mind, "Wear the color blue." I ignored it and continued to get ready, and then I heard again, "Wear the color blue." The only blue thing I had in my closet was an old dirty blue shirt, but I put it on anyway because really I didn't care. I was so sick. I had to have help getting to the church and getting in the church. I sat down immediately, and I remember everyone was worshiping and praising the Lord, and I just thought, I feel so bad. I want to go home. And then Audrey gets up and she starts ministering to us on healing, and I'm not really paying attention because my symptoms are just screaming at me. And then she says, "Did the Lord tell you to wear the color blue?" And I looked down at my blue shirt and thought, "Oh my gosh, he told me to wear blue." So she certainly had my attention. And I listened to her as she preached. And then afterwards, I went up and met her, and she prayed for me and ministered to me. But when I went home that night, I actually was not healed. I was still very sick. And on the way home, which was only a 1-minute drive, I was saying to my mother, "Oh, I wish I could be healed the way Audrey was." And then all of a sudden, I had this revelation that I was healed. I was free of the Lord. It was like downloaded in my mind and in my spirit. And I ran inside and I called my sister and I said, "I'm healed, I'm free, I'm free." And I was walking around my house, and then I started running around my house. And the next day, I ran up to Audrey. I said, "I have received my healing. I've received my freedom." And that was 8 years ago, and I've been totally healed.
My name is Kate, and I had last year, I suffered from depression, anxiety, suicidal tendencies. I was not able to shower or leave the house, or my husband had to babysit me most of the time. So I heard the healing conference was on in Colorado at the Andrew Womack Center. And so I came and I met Audrey Mack. And she called out for mental problems, depression, paranoia. And I just jumped up in the seat. I says, "I am going to be delivered tonight, and I am not going home with this problem." So she touched me, and I went down like a sack of potatoes. And my life has changed. My whole life, and my marriage, and my family's life. We are just overjoyed.
A few months ago, I was working at our Gospel Truth Conference in Orlando, and I had some back pain. I had been working that week. It had been a long week, just moving and lifting a lot of things. And many, many years ago, the Lord healed me of scoliosis. And since then, occasionally I'll have this pain try to come back. And so this day I was working, and I just had severe pain in my back and my neck. And I saw Audrey and her husband. They had come to the conference, and I had never met them. And so I went over to introduce myself. And Audrey gave me this big hug, and as she hugged me, all the pain just left my back and my neck without even speaking to it or knowing that I was in pain. Okay. Praise God, and it hasn't come back since that day, so praise God.
Here is the thing, God made a way. When Jesus went to the cross, he paid not only for our salvation, but for our healing as well. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, "By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed." So if you and I were healed 2,000 years ago, it means that you and I today, we are healed. We can be healed. Hallelujah. I wanted you to see this video just because to remind you and to show you evidence that yes, God is a God of miracles, and he heals today, and he always heals, and he wants to heal, but he wants to heal you and heal through you. And you know, I've been reading in the book of Judges, and I've just been, you know, reading and meditating, And I just came across that one verse from Gideon. You know, mighty Gideon, the mighty man of valor. But listen to what, when the angel spoke to him, you know, listen to what Gideon said. And it really sounds what a lot of Christian would say today in 2022 or 2021. You know, Gideon says, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why then has this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about? In other words, Gideon said, God, you know, if you are really with us, then why is this all happening to us? Why are we getting sick? Why are we not seeing the miracle? Why are we not seeing the revival? Why is this all happening? Does this sound familiar? You know what I'm talking about? And is it interesting, the answer of the Lord? God told him, he said, go in the power of your might. Have I not sent you? What is God saying? Yes, God is with you, but you need to get your little douche out of your chair and go, because I have sent you. Doesn't that kind of sound familiar? You know, where God says, hey, I have chosen to come and live with you, in you, and go ye into all the world. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out demons. Speak in tongues. If you drink anything deadly, it won't gonna hurt you. You can even tread on serpent and scorpion. But you know, most of the Christians say, Lord, if it really is the will of God to heal, why am I not getting healed? Lord, if it is the will of God to heal, why am I still sick? Some of you are looking to me so innocent and so holy. I mean, that's something, and that's so many people. We have that concept that if something is the will of God, that it will happen automatically. If God, you know, God is the God of revival. If God has been talking about awakening and revival, then why is it not here? Could it be maybe that God is telling us, hey, rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has already come. It's in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And there we're waiting. God, make revival. God, heal the people. And God is saying, have I not sent you? Go in the power of your might.
Amen. That's right.
So, you know, even the concept that something is the will of God, therefore, it's going to happen automatically. Let me go and preach over there. And I find that and I hear that and I can see the frustration. And I can see that people, you know, well, if it was the will of God, then it would have happened. You know, if something is the will of God, well, it's gonna. And we come, the devil has, in a subtle way, rendered us passive in a waiting mode, waiting for God to do it all. Because if something is the will of God, it's gonna happen. But you know, when I look, and like I said, I had to come to that place where I knew that 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 healing was always the will of God. And then I had to, when it comes to me ministering healing, I had to come to that place where I knew that 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 the power of God, that God himself was on the inside of me. And it was not just God's sovereignty that's going to decide when I was going to heal, where and who. But it was me believing that it is so, rising up in the power of his might.
Yes.
And go and do it.
Yes.
And you know, I remember, I'm going to take a little side journey. But I remember I grew up under a man of God. Kenneth Hagin. Anybody has heard of Kenneth Hagin? But here is Kenneth Hagin. I mean, I grew up hearing all of his stories. I knew them better than he did, you know. And I remember him telling the story of having an encounter with the Lord Jesus that appeared to him face to face. And he says, Kenneth, I've given you a special anointing. And he put his finger in the palm of his hand and they started to burn. And he says, from now on, you'll put your hand, and bam, the sick will be healed. And he started to, and I'd heal that. But you know how it computed and translated into my little French brain? I would by obedience lay hands on the sick because God said, go and lay hands on the sick. But back in the back of my brain, I would think, God has not appeared to me. God has not put his finger in my hand. Therefore, yeah, Kenneth Hagin saw many people healed, but I felt like I needed a special anointing to see people healed and see miracles. And then one day, I heard a man of God that spoke as plain as dirt, you know, as boring as vanilla. And he said, and I went in his meetings and I saw people getting healed right and left. I mean, like popcorn in his meetings. But I heard him say, I don't have a special anointing. I just have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in me. That's it. And something shifted in my brain and in my heart. And all of a sudden I realized, I don't need a special anointing. I just need to know that the resurrection power is on inside of me and I need to rise up and go in the power of his might. I just got to believe it and start acting on it. And as I you see, when there was that change in the way I saw and I realized that I had believed with that, you know, not maliciously, not intentionally, but I had bought into the lie that I needed something special to see miracles and healings. And all of a sudden, when there was that change in the way I saw God and saw God in me, I started to see miracles right and left. And that's just like just a few among hundreds and thousands. I'm talking about a young woman in Africa, and they had operated on her and taken one ovary because she had cancer. They operated on her, took one of her ovaries. Then they sent her to India. And I had taught a conference on healing, you know, and her 12-year-old little sister, finally, when they were sending her to India, said, hey, I'm going to lay hands on her. Her sister was laying there in pain. 12-year-old little sister went and laid hands on her big sister. And she said, I remember what Sister Audrey taught. And she laid hands on her big sister. The big sister finally goes to India for further treatment. The doctor is sitting across from her and saying, why are you here? She's like, well, to get treatment, I guess. She said, you don't need treatment. Your ovaries are perfect. And she's like, what do you mean my ovaries? He's like, yeah, look at it. Your two ovaries are just perfect. And I see a little, you know, scar on one of them. What is that about? And she said, well, I had one of my ovaries taken. He said, no, it's not. It's right here. She called the doctor in Burundi saying, hey, doctor, did you really take that ovary out of my body? I mean, the doctor felt insulted. And he said, yes, I did. And it's in a jar in alcohol on my shelf. I'm looking at it. Because a 12-year-old little sister dared to believe what the word of God said. And by simple obedience, laid hand on a sister. The cancer left, the ovaries grew back. I've seen people, thyroid grew back out, who had been operated on. I've seen legs grow. I have seen tumor disappeared. I've seen people, you know, like that lady. And you know, all of the testimony that you heard, you know what I love about it? Is that I've seen those people months later, some of them a couple of years later, and they still healed and still strong. You see? But all it took is to realize that, yes, something is the will of God, and it's not going to happen automatically. I just have to believe. And I've got to fight for it. I've got to push. And I've got to believe that the anointing of God is in me. Amen. And that same anointing is in you. Because we've got the same Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, you don't have a Holy Spirit Junior. You don't have a part of the Holy Spirit. We all have the same Holy Spirit. What is the difference? Is that some people believe it and start acting upon it, and other people still feel like, I just need something different. God, you need to give him something more. And we are praying, begging, asking for God to give us something more when he's scratching his head thinking, what more can I give them? I have given them myself. I have come and live inside of them. And I've given them can you realize that Holy Spirit is the one that was present at creation? And when the Father, who is the architect, spoke the word, who is Jesus, the Holy Spirit jumped on it and made it happen. That same Holy Spirit that created the universe is right here.
Yes.
Yeah. And that same anointing in you wants to heal you from the inside out. And you know, here again, sometimes we think, well, if healing is the will of God, then, you know, it's going to happen automatically. And we have that perception that in the Bible, when people got healed, it was easy peasy, just, you know, that Jesus just showed up and people, and we don't look and read between the line and see actually what was happening. Because I read a verse in the Bible in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 11 and 12, it says the kingdom, and you know what the kingdom is, it's God's rule and God's reign. He said the kingdom of God will suffer violence or suffers violence. And you know, every time Jesus, not every time, but very often, he would send the disciples two by two. He'd go and heal the sick and tell the people the kingdom of God has come near you. Or he would cast out demon. He would say the kingdom of God is near you. Because every time people get healed or people delivered, bam, manifestation of God's rule and reign. God is ruling. God is reigning. And when he does, bam, people get healed. Amen. But it says the kingdom of God suffers violence. And oftentimes when people thinking about, you know, showing violence in the spirit to get healing, they oftentimes try to exert and be violent with God. I'm going to fast 40 days. And I'm going to fast for 40 days until God's going to finally do something. Why are you looking so holy? Oh, I'm gonna, you know, God, if you heal me, I'm gonna tell all my family about Jesus. I'm gonna tell my neighbors, or I'll put $1,000 in the offering. And we are trying to put pressure on God, thinking that we've got to be violent, but with God. Trying to motivate him, convince him, and put pressure on him. But God doesn't need any pressure. Because you and I know God has already done it all. Jesus has shed his blood, he died, and while he was on the cross, he paid the bill. He paid the complete bill for every sickness, every disease, and every demonic activity. And then he went down, was buried, rose from the dead, put his foot on the neck of the devil, you know, and that was it. And then after he rose up, he said, hey, I'm giving you all those blessings, everything I got, everything I obtained, it's yours. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So now the violence, that spiritual violence, is never putting pressure on God, trying to convince him, trying to motivate him, trying maybe to manipulate him. We don't need to do. No, the violence has to be against the enemy. Because when it says the kingdom of God suffers violence, why? Because there is an enemy that does not want you to walk in the power of God. There is an enemy that doesn't want you to walk in the blessings, the health, the prosperity, all that God has got. The enemy doesn't want you to have it. So what will he do? He'll put pressure against you to convince you, to try to persuade you that stuff is not really real, that stuff is not really working. That is just fairy tale, fantasy. And that's where the pressure is. But the second part of the verse, he said, yeah, the kingdom of God will suffer violence. But it is the violent that will take it by force. Hallelujah. Which means that if you want to, you know something is the will of God, like I'm talking about healing right now. You know that healing is the will of God for you, because God doesn't will that you may, you know, that you be sick, but you may you prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. That's the will of God for you. Amen. And when you know that, and you know the healing is the will of God for you, then you go away from that attitude of, well, if it is the will of God, it'll just happen. And you realize, no, it is the will of God. And I'm not going to let anything, nothing, and nobody keep me from what God has for me. Amen. And hinder me from receiving what God has for me. And when you look at the Bible and you give a close look at how the attitude of people in the Bible that God healed, you realize that he was not just an easy-peasy walk in the park. I mean, think about, for example, the woman with the issue of blood. You know, we sometimes read the Bible and we go through things without using our imagination and think, what really happened at that moment? I mean, here is a little woman for 12 years, she lost blood, which meant she had no strength. And then on top of that, the culture said, don't you dare come in public. And the law said, if you're found unclean in public, you will be stoned. Everything was against her. She had no legal right, moral right, religious right, physical capability to go and get her healing. It was like, no, 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 no. But yet she didn't go, well, if it is the will of God, Jesus will get to me and it will happen. No, she went and showed a violence because she went against. I mean, I can just imagine that little lady. I mean, here she goes and she heard of Jesus and she said, if I can only touch him, I will be made whole. And she goes, okay, you can see the hope rise. And then what did she see? Big crowd. She could have said, well, maybe it's not my day. Maybe another day. No, she went against the crowd. And she pushed. I can see her doing, let me. And then she ended up probably on all four. Because she touched the border of his garment. Yes,
that's right.
And you know what I love about that story? I mean, she took her healing violently. She would not let anything stop her. She didn't take no for an answer. She pressed through, pressed through. I mean, her body could have said, hey, stop, you're going to die. She probably said, I'm dying anyway. And she pressed through. That little voice said, don't you dare come in public. They're going to make a spectacle out of you. They're going to stone you. I don't care. I'm about to die anyway. Bam. And she pressed. You see that, that violence. And you know what I love about that story? Is that all of a sudden, when she touched Jesus, Jesus stopped and said, hey, who touched me? And nobody said anything, not a peep. And finally he said, I know somebody touched me. Who is it? Why did Jesus do that? After all, he knew somebody had drawn from the power. He knew somebody had got healed. He could have said, oh, praise God, somebody got healed. He didn't. Why did he want the person to come forward? Because he didn't want that little lady leaving thinking she had stolen a healing from God. He wanted her to come forward and testify. Because when we testify of what the Lord has done, it seals something in our heart and it forbids the enemy from stealing it again. It did something in her where all of a sudden it just sealed that healing. And what Jesus did at that moment by her testifying of that healing, he gave her back her dignity, gave her back her identity, and he told her, you mean something. God knows you, and God loves you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you mean, look at the guys on the stretcher. I mean, that alone, we see four friends carrying a sick guy on a stretcher, guy paralyzed, right? And they go into the door, knock, knock, knock. And you know what happened? No room inside, couldn't even put a foot in. Most Christians today would have said, well, if it is the will of God, it would have happened. If it really was the will of God, God would have made a way and we would have got in. But you notice those guys, they didn't stop. They didn't have that notion. They knew healing is right there. The anointing is right there. And you know, I don't care what we have to do, we're going to get it. And so when the guy couldn't go through the door, you know what they did? They went on the roof. And we read that in a nonchalant, que sera, sera kind of way. I mean, you understand que sera, sera, right? That lady lived in France, I just found out, right? And you know, it's like, no, those guys didn't have that. They said, well, we can't go through the door. That's okay. We'll find another way. They climbed on the roof, dug a hole. How big? I don't know. And then lowered a guy on a stretcher, paralyzed. Can you imagine the scene? Try to put yourself and try to imagine what it looked like, what they did. And we think, well, it was easy. No, really? But they went, and when they did that, I mean, you can see that spiritual violence I'm talking about. They would not take no for an answer. They pressed through every obstacle, every hindrance, every, what you know, any no's. They trampled over it. And they got the healing. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, here is I love that. In Matthew, let me see if I can find that verse. In Matthew, oh, Lord Jesus, help me here. Okay, here it is, Matthew 15, verse 29 and 30. He said, Jesus departed from there. He skirted the Sea of Galilee, and he went up on a mountain. So far, so good, because Jesus is healthy, right? He can go hiking, not a problem. But then it says, then great multitude came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. They laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them all. Hallelujah. I mean, you read that, and it gives you that impression, man, that was easy. Oh, really? You notice those people that heard that there was an anointing available. What did they do? They climbed. They went hiking, climbing a mountain with the lame, with the mute, with the blind, with the paralyzed. Was that easy, do you think? No. I could just picture it. I mean, the guy with the blind. Okay, step up. There is a big hole. Go up there. Or the guy on the stretcher. Okay, let's take a break, man, guys. Anybody's got water here, man? And they kept with the stretcher and, you know, guiding the paralyzed, the maimed, trying to hike on a mountain. I mean, I went hiking in Switzerland. I mean, every 5 minutes I was like. And we think that healing is the will of God, therefore it's just going to be a walk in the park. When in reality, once we understand that, yes, it is always, 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 always the will of God, but there is an enemy that's going to put pressure to hinder, to stop, to convince you, it's not going to happen. No way, Jose. And once you know that, you got to have on the inside of you that I'm saying, no, devil, you're not going to rob it from me. No, devil, it's mine. And I remember, you know, one time I was in Switzerland. I was in Annecy, and Annecy is in France. I was in France, and it was for a businessman kind of thing. you know, where they were inviting a lot of people. Many of them were not Christians, you know. It was an avenue to, you know, to expose people to the gospel. And I was the guest speaker. And they brought a lady to me who was in a wheelchair. You know, and that lady, her husband had beat her up so bad that he had compromised her spinal cord. So the doctor said, you will never walk again. You know, get used to this. And so not only was she paralyzed, like paraplegic, but she was completely, she was depressed because there was no hope. And they brought her to me. Well, you see, the first reflex oftentimes when you minister to people is like, well, you know, I'm just going to lay hands on the person and jerk her out of the wheelchair and that's going to happen. But we've got, like I said this morning, we've got to listen to be sensitive to the Spirit, to what He wants to do. You know, did you notice Jesus didn't never minister to people in the same way? Not because He was trying to confuse people, but because He knew what was in the heart of people. He knew the things that, you know, that were, you know, involved. And He knew what it would take to get the person healed. Amen. And so when they brought that lady to me, I had a sense in my heart that with her, it would not be a quick thing, that I had to kind of pay attention and just speak to her. And then I heard those words. The Holy Spirit says she will have to stand up on the inside before she can stand up on the outside. And I went, wow, that's good. And what He was showing me is that lady kind of had accepted the condition, thinking, well, that's how I'm going to have to, you know, live. That's what I'm going to have to use. And what the Holy Spirit was showing me, that you're going to have to make her angry on the inside, where she does not accept that, where she chooses to say no and put her foot down and say, I refuse to accept that. And then I had to teach her how to press against it and how to take her ground, stand her ground, and get back what the enemy had stolen. And so I spent a little time with her, showing her, teaching her. Well, long story short, a couple of months later, she sends me an email that she was not walking yet, but she said, I'm moving my toes. Wow. And then a year later, I come back in a city close by, and I remember preaching, and I saw that lady on the corner of my eye. I mean, beautiful with a big smile. And you know, it was one of the things where you're like, I know that lady, I've seen her before, but I couldn't place her. And so at the end of the service, she came to me walking. She had a crutch, but she was walking. And she said, you remember me? I'm the lady in the wheelchair. And here's the thing that I have learned. Is that something is the will. Healing is always, and I don't have time to go in detail. I assume that you know that healing is always the will of God, because I know your pastors, and I know what, you know, they're going to teach that, right? That healing is always the will of God. So I don't want to build again. I assume that you know that healing is always the will of God, but because it is the will of God, we've got a legal right to take a stand and push against it, saying, devil, no. It's mine. And so we got to learn how to be violent in the spirit. How to refuse to let go of something that belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. And if you don't see and I see a lot of instantaneous. I mean, yeah, you saw that lady just hug her, bam, she got healed. There was another time I met somebody for the first time, put my hand on their shoulder, and they would go totally healed. I didn't even know what was happening. You know, the anointing is there to heal. Amen. But I also know that there are moments, if the manifestation doesn't come, it doesn't mean that it's God who says, uh-uh, you're not going to get healed. No, what it is the kingdom of God suffers violence. But you got to learn to be violent in the spirit and push against it until you see the full manifestation, like that little lady. And I want to show you another example of that. And you see, that started to change the way I ministered. Because once I completely realized that healing is always the will of God, it's always the will of God to heal everybody. I see that in the Bible. Jesus healed them all again and again and again. But there was something about those people that were willing to climb mountain with the maimed, the mute, and the blind. There were people that were willing to press against all the no's and the obstacle. And there were those people had that faith. And by the moment they came in Jesus' presence, they were getting healed. Because they had already showed some kind of faith. Now let me bring a little something here, because I remember I was in Ethiopia. And I was teaching in a Bible college there, and the director, she came from a very prominent family in Ethiopia. Her father was an ambassador in the US. So she was kind of used to have people pretty much do whatever she wanted, you know. And so she told me, she said, "My brother is a airline pilot, commercial pilot, and because of sitting in the chair for so long, all so often, his back was hurting." So she asked me and she said, "Hey, would you be willing to go and pray for my brother?" And I said, "Yes, of course." And then I found out her brother lived about an hour and a half away. So I'm like, "Okay, no problem, you know." But as I was back in my room and I was just like spending time with the Lord spoke to me and he said, "I don't want you to go. Don't go and pray for him. You need to ask him to come to you." And I'm like, "What is that, Lord?" And the Lord was showing me that he wanted him to activate his faith, to do something like those people who were willing to climb mountains with the maimed and the blind. Like that little woman who just pressed through the crowd, or the paralyzed that allowed four crazy friends to lower him through a roof. It took something of violence, which is an expression of faith, right? And so I went and told her, I said, "You know what? I feel the Lord is telling me that your brother needs to come to us." And so she said, "Well, I don't know about that. Let me talk to my brother." Well, so she called him. And he went and he said, no, really, I would rather her come to me. You know, long story short, you know. So I'm just like, "Oh, Lord." And, you know, I'm like between a rock and a hard place. I'm like, you know, my heart is going. I'm like, I want to be a blessing. But I just had that sense that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. So finally I said, "Okay, I will just go with you." So we went, took a taxi, drove for an hour and a half, got to his house. I ministered to him. As I ministered to him, the anointing, I can feel the anointing. And the guy got totally healed. So I went, "Praise God." He's climbing up and down. And the pain is gone, everything. And so we're like, "Praise the Lord." And he invites us for dinner. Within 5 minutes, the pain was back. Sicker than before. And he's like, "All the pain has come back." And I was a little perplexed. And I said, Lord, what happened there? He got healed on my faith, really. It was the anointing, you know, that. And the Lord told me, say, "Why?" Because he never had any faith. He was piggybacking. I don't know what you say that on your faith. It was my faith. And because he was not willing to activate or to do something and to come and drive to me, he never engaged his faith. Wow. And that's the reason why, you know, we hear like Amy St. Paul McPherson. She would always say she wanted people to come to sit for 3 days to be taught the word. And then she would pray for them, you know. And here recently, there was a, you know, world nun, a man of God that flows in the gift, that's seen thousands of people, you know, heal the sick. I mean, he flows in the gifts of healing big time, you know, and I'm not going to tell his name anything, but people would get healed in his meetings, you know, and then a week or two later, they would lose it. And Amy St. Paul McPherson would say the same. People would come and get healed in her meeting, but within a few weeks, they would lose the healing. And why is that? It's because they were healed on somebody else's faith. And they never engaged their own faith. And what we saw, why those people were getting healed so easy, is because They had that violent faith that says, I'm going to do whatever it takes because I know the anointing is there and I'm not going to let anything and anybody rob me from it or hinder me from it. You see what I'm saying? And so once I understand that, that healing is always the will of God, even in the way sometimes I would minister to people, I look at it like a bulldog with a bone. And it's like that expectancy where I know healing is the will of God. And it's like pressing in until I see something. Because I expect healing. And one time I remember I was doing a charismatic Catholic conference in France in the middle of nowhere. And there was a big tent with about 1,000 people there. And there was there a set of twins, Mathilde and Clémence. And I saw the girl and I was introduced to them and I saw little Clémence, one of the twins, running around, jumping, full of life and energy. But I saw little Mathilde in a wheelchair. And I kind of was asking questions. I'm like, you know, who are there? And I heard the story. That a year before, same conference, 1 year before, they both were in a wheelchair because they both had Lyme disease. If you could show me the first picture, you can see little Mathilde and Clémence. So here you see Mathilde and Clémence. They're like, you know, about 11, 12 years old. They both have Lyme disease, stuck in a wheelchair. And that year before I met them, there was a friend of mine who prayed for them. And one of them got healed. Little Clémence got healed. Got out of the wheelchair, totally healed. But little Mathilde was still stuck in the wheelchair. So you can see picture number two. So now you see behind it says Lyme. So you see little Clémence sitting on the floor and Mathilde in the wheelchair. And that kind of puzzled me. And I'm like, Lord, why is it? I mean, look at it. A set of twins, same age, identical twin, same DNA, same disease, prayed by the same person, at the same place, same time. One get healed, the other doesn't. You know what most people would think? Well, maybe God chose to heal Clémence, but he chose not to clean Mathilde. You look at it from that thinking, well, you know, because God is sovereign. So obviously God didn't want to heal little Mathilde. But I knew better than that. Yeah. I knew that healing is always the will of God. Amen. So I asked question. I'm like, Lord, what's going on here? Why is it that little Mathilde didn't get healed? And as I'm there looking and I'm observing and I'm noticing that little Mathilde is super shy, very introvert, super shy, quiet. She won't look you in the eye. She just kind of like that. And she'll talk just like that. And I had to put my ear at her mouth to even hear anything. And so I started ministering to her. And it reminded me that lady in France, you know, you have to stand up on the inside before you stand up on the outside. Yeah. And I knew that healing was the will of God for her. Yeah. But the Lord was showing me she didn't get healed because of her personality. And you think, what? She didn't get healed because of her personality? Yeah. Because what happened is little Clémence had that more assertive, kind of take charge kind of girl. I mean, she'd tell you what to do in a minute. You know, just full of energy. But little Mathilde was like shy and introvert and pretty much let anybody walk all over her if you let her. You know what I'm talking about. And that kind of attitude carries in the spirit. Wow. And we don't realize it. No, we don't. And so my aim was to make her realize. And as I'm starting ministering to her, I get a word of knowledge. The Lord tells me, he says, she thinks that it is God who played favorites. Mm. You see, that's how most of people see. They see if something is not happening, it's because God is the factor. It cannot be us over here. No, it's got to be God. Some, because if God is powerful, you know, like Gideon, Lord, if you are with us, yeah. Why are we not seeing the miracles? And so I started to make her angry. I started to make her, raise the hope and started to tell her, gave her that word of knowledge and said, hey, Mathilde, God didn't play favorite. I'm going to tell you why you didn't get healed. Not because God didn't want you, but because you just let the devil walk all over you. While Mathilde, she took charge and she stood up and she just, pushed and took it by force. You know what I mean? Yeah. And when she started to, and then I started to stir her up on the inside and just kind of paint a picture in front of her and said, hey, Mathilde, and I went on and on. And people around, and here it is, we were under a tent. And by that time, it was the end of the conference. They were tearing down everything, packing everything. So I had time. We were on the side and I'm talking. But once in a while, I could see the people looking at me, listening to me like, that lady is mean, looking at me like with that disgusting look on their face, like, why? Can't you see that little girl is paralyzed? Why is she talking to her? I was like, trying to make her angry on the inside. She said, no more is enough. Finally, when I was able to get to that place where I could see on her face that there was hope, and I saw on her face that she was like, I'm going to stand up, Then I said, now are you ready? I got her out of the wheelchair. We started. But you see, it didn't happen just like that in a second. We had to press. We had to take it by force. I had to help her. And we pushed through and pushed through and pushed through and pushed through until finally she was able to stand up on her own. Long story short is I told her parents, I said, hey, now that she's standing up, and before her legs were like mush, she couldn't do anything. I had to take her legs and push her and do like this, kick her. Anything I could do. I was at that place. You see that violence? I'm like, I know that it's the will of God for that little girl to get healed. And I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to get her healed. And I can tell you, I have seen people blind getting healed, that could not see getting healed because it was like, I was not going to give up. If we can have that attitude, you see, when you are being attacked in your body and you don't let the devil walk all over you and you don't let, the devil take over and you just press through because you know it's your right, it's given to you, there'll be a place where the devil says, well, I might as well give up. And then after a while with that little girl and I helped her and helped her to try to take her stand, then the parents 3 weeks later sent me a little video of little Mathilde. So video number one, maestro. So here is little Mathilde 3 weeks later. But I want you to notice something. You see, when we minister to people, we've got to be observant. That was in French, right? She said, are you going to not turn around? You can see she's so shy. She doesn't want to look at people. You can see how Mathilde is so shy. And that shyness is what was hindering her from getting a hold of the healing. And once somebody dared to push her and let her see that, she started to gain ground and start to take her healing with the help of her parents. But here is the good news, is a few months later, I want you to see that video number two. Here is Mathilde. Think about the reward. And did you see a difference in her expression, in her face? And you know what is amazing? She got so totally free that they asked her at school to be the, how would you call that? They had like a theater play, and she was the number one. She was the one walking, and she was the main character. And so, if we can see that, the Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, but it's those that are willing to have that inner violence. And here is something. You see, that spiritual violence doesn't mean that we all of a sudden scream and kick and bind and loose and Because when we think of spiritual violence, that's what we think, right? We think, well, I'm just going to scream at the devil, kick and scream, and you know, that's what a lot of people think spiritual violence, but it's not automatically. Maybe it is, and it could be from a child. Because here is the thing, the way I describe it, that spiritual violence, it's really standing up and going against the pressure of the devil. If the devil wants you to be quiet and passive, not say anything in your little corner, sorry to bother you, then you need to stand up. You need to speak out, and you need to put him back in his place. Amen. But if the devil is trying you, you better just lay down and stay in bed and just let everybody just wipe your fever brows. Then you need to get out of bed. You need to go clean house, do something, or go and pray for somebody else. You know what I mean? Right, yeah. If the devil then wants you, try to get you in that place of reaction to scream and kick, then you need to be quiet and just praise the Lord. You understand when that spiritual violence, it's going against the violence of the devil. Whatever it is trying to do against you, whatever pressure is putting against you, whether it's to get you quiet and silent, or whether it is you to get screaming and kicking, whatever it is, you need to go against it. You understand what I'm saying, right? If the devil tries to get you into fear, you know what you need to do? It's a time just to worship God, yes. Yeah. Sing, and be in that place of peace. Yeah. If the devil tries to get you into that, you know, that passive mode, then you need to stand up. Whatever he's trying to do to get you into at that moment, you need to go against it. Do you guys understand, make sense what I'm trying to say? You know, one time I remember we were all in hurricane season, you know. We were in hurricane season, and we had two of the biggest, strongest hurricane. And that time I was at home, and of course we prepared. We knew we were waiting for a major hurricane, so we got water, we got food, we got a generator. And then of course I went outside and exercised authority. I mean, we have a house surrounded with oaks, big trees, you know, and we live by the water. So, you know, I went outside, I'm like, I'm exercising authority. Not one, you know, brick will be broken. Not one tree will be uprooted. Not one problem on this property, because it belongs to God. So I went and exercised authority. You understand? But then while we are at the peak of the hurricane and we are sitting inside the house and we've got big windows all around and I can see the wind, I mean, 130 miles per hour wind, and I can see those big oaks going... And I'm looking, you know, and what would have been tempting to do when you see that is to start standing up and starting, I told you in Jesus' name, and starting going, spinning my wheels. No, I had already exercised authority. And at that moment where I felt so tempted to scream and holler and react, I knew, I'm like, I've got to go against that. You know what we did? We went and took a 2-hour nap. Because I said, if Jesus slept in the boat in the middle of the storm, then it'd be a good idea for me. And that would be the best way to push against what the devil is trying to do. To try to get me into fear and reaction. You see? And when we, you know, when there was the end, and for 7 days we had no electricity. So we were eating, you know, candlelight. No telephone, no computer. We had a blast. I was like, I have my husband without a telephone for, praise the Lord. But you know, when after that, when we went and we did a survey of the property, we looked in the neighborhood, there were massive oak trees, completely uprooted. There were people's, you know, house destroyed. There were like major, but our property was like intact. We had a few small little branches broken, but nothing, you know, major. And you say, but why didn't you pray over the whole neighborhood? Well, I don't have authority over somebody else's house. Yeah. You understand that.
Right. Yeah.
But I knew I had authority over my house.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
But that's what spiritual violence looks like. It is not automatically to holler, to scream and kick against the devil. Oftentimes, you are playing into the devil's hand when you get like that. Because
wow.
I've learned something powerful. And God started to show me, you know, in Romans chapter 14, in verse 17. And that's what I was going to talk about, but I didn't get to. It says, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know what that tells me? That you will see the kingdom of God and his authority. God will reign. God will rule when all of a sudden you stay in that place of righteousness, of peace, and of joy. No matter what's going on around you. Because when you stay in that place of joy and peace, you are in the Spirit. And when you are in the Spirit, that's where the kingdom of God. You see what I'm saying, right? Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you,